Highways Voices, the podcast of Highways News, your one-stop destination for all the news about the highways and transport technology industries, and our must-read daily newsletter.
This week on Highways Voices, we look at cutting-edge technology to use cars to analyze road conditions.
We are generating in the vehicle what we call virtual sensors. These are algorithms and software that generates meaningful information out of the existing hardware sensor that we have today in the vehicles. Those meaningful information normally has to do with the tactile sensing of the vehicle and the surface.
Sensors and AI combine to give us real-time views of the roads, making our journeys safer. So let's find out more about it on this week's Highways Voices.
Highways Voices, in association with partner organisations ELCRIG, ADEPT, the Transport Technology Forum and ITS UK.
We're joined by Boaz Mizrachi of Tactile Mobility in a moment after our regular look at the latest news on our site with Adrian Tatum.
More than 90% of council-run bus services has been cut across England since 2010, according to research by the I newspaper. It said a combined 60 million miles of bus routes had vanished up to March 2023 across the 10 worst affected areas, which were topped by Cumbria and Hull. The other areas which have seen the highest percentage of council services cut range from 95 to 98%, according to the newspaper's analysis, were Stoke-on-Trent, Portsmouth, Southampton, Nottingham, Stockton-on-Tees and Slough. And elsewhere, signs are being placed in collision hotspot areas around Dorset this spring to help reduce the number of motorcycle collisions in the county. The road signs have been designed over 2,400 members of the motorcycling community and have been produced by DocBike and Dorset Council, with support from Dorset Police, BCP Council, Dorset and Wiltshire Fire and Rescue Service and Public Health Dorset. Makes up the Dorset Roads Safety Partnership. In an effort to prevent road deaths, the partnership is placing the unique road signs at key locations where many motorcyclists have been injured in Dorset. Studies show that springtime is the most dangerous time for motorcycle collisions, with a peak in serious injuries and fatalities being seen as motorcyclists make their way back onto the roads after the winter break. One in every 25 council-maintained road bridges in Great Britain is officially deemed as substandard. That's according to research by the RSC Foundation. In December 2023, the foundation approached all 208 local highway authorities in England, Scotland and Wales and based its analysis on freedom of information responses from 201 of them. Between them, the 201 councils are responsible for 73,208 road bridges, of which 2,928 are substandard. That is, they cannot carry the largest 44-ton lorries allowed on the nation's roads.
Don't forget, we put loads of news on our website every single working day, which you can find on our site or via X or LinkedIn or straight into your inbox if you sign up to our unique daily lunchtime email. Into your inbox with everything you need to know, because we really are the only place you need to go. We are Highways News.
Swarco improves quality of life by making the travel experience safer, quicker, more convenient and environmentally sound. From software as a service traffic management solutions to parking, VMS, EV charging and road marking too, find out how Swarco can deliver more efficient and safer traffic management. Swarco, the better way, every day.
As you might imagine, I get plenty of emails pitching me ideas to include here on Highways Voices. Some of them are just boringly salesy. Some of them are just boring, and some are intriguing. Well, this week is certainly an intriguing one I received from a company I didn't know called Tactile Mobility, which uses sensors and AI to give a driver immediate information that allows them to optimise their drive with shared data with other road users and highways authorities. So, to find out more about it, I caught up with Boaz Mizrachi, founder and CTO of Tactile Mobility, and we started at the very beginning with me asking what the company actually does.
Tactile Mobility is a software company that develops software for the vehicles, smart vehicles, actually for the ECU, and compliant software on the cloud side that communicates with each other. So we are generating in the vehicle what we call virtual sensors. These are algorithms and software that generates meaningful information out of the existing hardware sensor that we have today in the vehicles. Those meaningful information normally has to do with the tactile sensing of the vehicle and the surface. So, for example, what is the current friction coefficient, okay, that we have with the road? What is the tire condition that I have now, like tread wear, stiffness, etc.? What is my current weight, estimated weight, and the stuff like this? So these are virtual sensors that are generated close to real time in the vehicle while driving, edge computed on the ECU. Then, in parallel, we are uploading those insights, okay, as soon as we have them, through the connectivity of the connected car, through the OEM cloud, directly to Tactile Mobility Cloud, where we collect close to real time all these informations, meaningful insights from all the vehicles around the world, commercial fleet, and then we generate map layers, okay, like real time map layers that has to do with the surface, what we call surface DNA, and has to do with the vehicle, what we call the vehicle DNA. This is like what is known in the industry as the digital model or digital twin of the vehicles. So, for example, you can find layers that says what is the current grip estimation per road segment around the world, and what is the surface distress that we encounter, like a pothole, bumps, stuff like this. And on the other hand, if we look at the statistics or per vehicle information, what is the tire situation of the vehicles, the weight, their usage, etc. So normally this information from the cloud side are being sent back to the vehicle. What is known in the industry as horizon prediction or electronic horizon, like what is expected in the next 2 miles for the vehicle that we are driving at. Or it can be sent to other parties like road authorities, municipalities, etc., that are doing a maintenance or a predictive maintenance with those information or other stuff. In the vehicle, the insights that are generated with the software, those virtual sensor outputs, are normally fed into existing customer functions in the ECU, mostly for preconditioning of the vehicle. For example, if we sense that now there is a low mu situation, like we're driving on icy conditions, then normally customer functions like adaptive cruise control will use it, for example, in this case, to keep a larger distance between the car in front of us. Okay, so preconditioning the vehicle is something that smart vehicles today will do with such virtual sensors.
So if I summarize, basically it's anything from being able to tell a road authority where there is a particularly dangerous stretch of maybe slippery road or lots of potholes, and then telling other vehicles you can connect. So if there was a particularly slippery, icy stretch of road 2 or 3 miles ahead of you, you would then be warned and be able to take appropriate action. And I guess also just understanding your own vehicle, that where there is a problem potentially with your own vehicle, you can either change your driving style or go get it fixed.
Exactly. That's exactly it. If you know, for example, that your tires are completely worn out, okay, your tread gaps got too minimal, then probably if we will be announced by the horizon ahead that there is a deep puddle in front of you, okay, a lot of rainy puddles accumulated on the road, then for your specific vehicle, you will not need to drive slower, okay, otherwise you will encounter aquaplaning event, okay? While other vehicles with normal state of tires can drive very faster. So it's what we call denormalizing the nominal map information to my specific vehicle parameters.
There's powerful use case in that. I guess my next question, therefore, is how you actually get into the vehicles in order to start running that information. Because the amount of information that comes out of a car, you could never do it off board, I guess. You're going to have to do it on board in the vehicle. So how do you get into the vehicle? Are you looking to partner with manufacturers, or are you working with people who wish to have the kit as an aftermarket fit?
Exactly. This is the $1 million question, or sometimes $10 million or something like this. You have touched the real points here. On one hand, we need a lot of information, okay? A large bandwidth of information that exists today in the vehicle, which cannot be uploaded to the cloud due to limits of communication bandwidth, even today or even in the next few years. So there is a need to have edge computed software that aggregates this information inside the vehicle, gets to the conclusion in the vehicle inside the ECU, and only the outcomes, those insights with very low bandwidth transmission, can be uploaded to the cloud. That exactly. So in order to make that happen, you need to be inside the ECU, the engine control unit, or any ECU in the vehicle. There are several of them. Now, in order to do that, there is no other way but to be in the production line. Meaning that you go to the OEM or tier one that is in production line with the OEM and gets your software integrated starting almost 4 years or 5 years before the start of production of the new model, where you start doing the POCs, the evaluation stages, pilots, etc. Then you get into the development stage where you provide your actual software. The OEM combines it with their own software and maybe with the tier one software, and then everything is combined together, compiled and targeted into the ECU there that goes through testings, of course, and then goes to start of production. So it's a long process, and in order for this process to happen, there needs to be a big motivation from all sides, okay? So from, of course, from tactical mobility side, the provider, but also from the OEM. The benefit of those functions that we are providing should be meaningful enough for the end customer, for the driver itself, okay, himself, in order to make it happen. Because there's a lot of efforts in while putting this in software inside, testing it, calibrating it. So that's the main issue here.
Yeah, I've been involved in intelligent transport systems in one way or another for 25 years or so now. I've been writing about it for well over a decade, and so many times I've seen fantastic ideas, fantastic solutions that are shown off in theory, yet the problem is building a business case, actually getting money out of it, making money out of it. So who would end up paying for this solution? Would it be the roads operators because they're getting better knowledge as to where they should target maintenance? Is it the motor manufacturers to give them an edge over their competitors? Or is it the driver because it's another safety feature that they can use to just help them get from A to B and get there in one piece?
So that's an excellent question. And I guess the answer is a combination of what you just mentioned. So first of all, it's the OEM. The OEM needs to see a clear value for your software, our software, for this feature inside the vehicle while driving, okay? So leave the monetization aside, leave the road authorities, insurance companies, et cetera, leave those aside. So if the software, this virtual sensor, provides an information that does not exist today in the vehicle, and this new information enables by software only, without any addition of additional hardware, okay, enables the new features in the vehicle while driving, and I can give you a few examples for that, then the customer, which is now the OEM, okay, will be willing to sell this car with a premium, okay? So normally we're talking about a sub-dollar per license per vehicle, okay, one time on the production line for each of these virtual sensors. This is what is now custom in this world. So for example, let's say that today you have a way to configure your vehicle for the mode of driving that you have. Am I driving now on off-road, on-road, loam you conditions on sand, etc. Okay, so I can press a button and then the car or the chassis is preconditioned, the powertrain is preconditioned according to my preferences. Okay, like for example, all wheel drive in compared to two wheel drive, torque distribution, etc. When we detect the grip estimation, the grip condition at each point of time and each point of the road, then this preconditioning button can be pressed automatically, okay, by our software. So you don't need the customer to assign that. So that's example for how you can evaluate the value of such a virtual sensor for a driver, like automatic procedures. Now, after you do that and you cover all those expenses of inserting this, integrating this software into the ECU, okay, then the monetization is on top of that. And of course, you can share it with the driver, with the OEM, with everyone that's in the middle.
And could it be used for retrospective analysis? So, for example, one of the issues that we have when it comes to road safety is that often, unlike plane crashes and train crashes, where there are people that will go through every single one to find out what the cause was and how it can stop happening in the future, with car crashes that doesn't really happen. Whereas it sounds to me as though there could be a possibility that post crash you could go into the data that was being collected and actually see if there were any common themes either at the scene or within the vehicle that could then be used to help avoid the same thing happening again.
Right. That's a very good point. Look, for the surface DNA, let's call it, there are common things that can, contribute badly to such accident conditions. For example, road friction. For example, changing of the friction due to situations like rain, or sometimes it's that the baseline of the pavement condition there. Okay. Sometimes it's banking, okay, while curving, and the combination of the two, and a lot of stuff like this, distresses, roughness, etc. So this is part of the road signature that we provide of this vehicle, surface DNA. So surface DNA will provide this information that you can analyze such an accident according to. Second thing is the vehicle DNA. Is what was the condition of my vehicle, my tires, okay, that might lead to such an accident. So the combination of the two. Now, for that, what we have in our roadmap is providing like a black box, okay, if you will, a software-wise in the vehicle that can record the past a few minutes, seconds, or milliseconds prior to an accident that can shed the light, of what happened there with the road condition, with the tire condition, with the steering there, etc., that might lead to that. However, we need to consider one very important thing, mainly for Europe, which is the GDPR. Okay, so one of the things for the GDPR is that it's not common to collect information that might lead to accusing a driver. Okay, even though that the driver should be accused, let's say for over speeding or doing other stuff. But this is, let's say, at least the OEMs are obliged for their customers not to collect such information. So with your idea, there might be a contradiction between them.
Yeah, I've come across that before, talking to insurance companies who are looking at autonomous vehicles, and they've said they would love to have the data, but they're not sure who owns it. So that's a very interesting legal point. Thinking about AI and the way that's changing so many industries, are you into a situation where if you had the data, you may be able to actually use it to predict either within a few seconds or a few minutes, learn from situations in order to predict where there may be danger? So whether that is that you're beginning to feel that the road surface is starting to deteriorate to the point where we need to get in there and fix it before crashes start happening, or actually in car the driver being warned the way that you're driving or the conditions mean you are far more likely to have a crash, therefore change your driving style or some other solution to minimize the risk.
Right. So it's a good question. Let's start with the first part. So first part is detecting changes on the surface DNA that leads to estimation that there is a deterioration there, that something gets wrong, okay, along the time. So something gets worse, okay? So if there are a lot of vehicles driving on the same road segment, let's say, okay, the same tire track, okay, and we can normalize those signals and we can feel the changes there, we can provide the OEM the changes in the friction, changes in the roughness of the surface, okay, waviness of the surface, so they can predict according to the degradation rate, let's call it, okay, when to do bio fixing or something that will, you know, prevent something worse to happen there. As for the vehicle itself or the driver itself while driving, the worst situation that I can think of is black ice. Okay, so black ice is a condition that in Europe and northern country, like in the north of US, Canada, etc., sometimes visually you see very nice and clean road. Okay, and when you drive on top of that, like cruising without any excitation, it still feels very good. No problem to cruise on that. However, when you start an excitation like cornering or braking or acceleration, then you are in trouble. And if this is a black ice, it's so a poor a quality of grip that you might very fast lose grip and then eventually gets into an accident. What tactile mobility provides is the ability to sense your grip as it occurs within sub-second. Okay, so if there is a mu change, like the friction coefficient is changing, and now you get into a patch of an icy road, we detect it within a second and then provide it to the driver. So it's either being preconditioned differently, like increase the distance with the car in front of you if this is an ACC, or limit some excitations that you do, okay, precondition, ABS, ESP, etc. So you can take care of before you need to excite the car, before you need to brake it or to accelerate.
Boaz Mizrachi, founder and CTO of Tactile Mobility, on the rapid rise of current technologies we see throughout our cars, how modern tech like AI and sensors are already paving the way for a safer future on the roads, and a future of such technology that map out road conditions, forecast changes in roadway friction, and accurately predict maintenance issues. All good stuff, and I hope you agree, stuff well worth learning about here on Highways Voices.
Highways Voices, the podcast from highwaysnews.com. Highwaysnews.com.
Adrian's accolades still to come, and our partner news too.
Highways Voices, with the latest news and events from our partner organisations Elkrig, Adept, the Transport Technology Forum, and ITS UK.
The Department for Transport has completed the right around to the chief executives of 100 combined and local authorities across England, confirming how much each will receive from the Traffic Signals Obsolescence Grant and the Green Light Fund, as outlined in the government's plan for drivers. A total of £50 million is being distributed to authorities to upgrade traffic signal systems by replacing obsolete equipment, and also to provide funding to tune up traffic signals to better reflect current traffic conditions and get traffic flowing. Authorities are required to produce a list of the schemes they intend to deliver with this grant funding by the 30th of April. This will be done using an online portal available on the Transport Technology Forum website, supported by the local council roads innovation group Elkrig. And next will be the application for the Intelligent Traffic Management Fund, and we'll come to that next week on Highways Voices. Now, talking of Elkrig, don't forget the new location for the Elkrig Innovation Innovation and Learning Festival, which takes place from the 1st to the 3rd of July at Stoneleigh Park in Kenilworth near Coventry. It showcases products, solutions, new innovations and techniques from across the highway sector, featuring indoor and outdoor exhibitions plus a range of live demonstration sessions. Three further Transport and Highways case studies have been published by ADEPT as part of their joint campaign with COLAS on equality, diversity and inclusion. The latest case studies follow three people in transport planning, highways maintenance and a civils operative role. Each story sheds light on experiences, challenges and triumphs. The A Place for All campaign brings personal stories, perspectives and experiences to life and aims to foster greater inclusivity in the workplace. As part of the campaign, ADEPT will be publishing a series of case studies over the next few weeks. And finally, don't forget ITS UK's Intelligent Transport Address is back. Shashi Verma, Chief Technology Officer at Transport for London, will give the second annual address, presenting his vision for the future of the transport industry and how technology can support the sector going forward. His address title is Smart Ticketing Mobility and the Future for Transport. Where are we and where we're going? It takes place on the 21st of May at AWS's offices near London's Liverpool Street station.
Highways Voices with Paul Hutton and Adrian Tatum.
And don't forget, with all that you heard about on our partner news, you can get details via our partner websites. I've put all the links to them in the blurb. Now, it's hat tipping time as Adrian picks out some personal people doing amazing things in the industry. It's time for
Adrian's accolade.
And my accolades this week goes to the CAV4TH project in Scotland. While self-driving cars and services are already operating the cities across US and China, Scotland is believed to be the first country to launch autonomous buses into the public. The fleet of five full-size buses, which have a safety driver on board, can carry up to 10,000 passengers per week on the 14-mile route from Fife to Edinburgh Park, with maximum speeds of 50 miles an hour. The pilot project, which was introduced last year, has brought together multiple organisations, including technology firm Fusion Processing, transport operator Stagecoach, bus manufacturer Alexander Dennis, Edinburgh Napier University and Transport Scotland. A successful trial indeed, and worthy winners of my accolade this week.
Ah, memories of that. You can read about it and see the pictures from when I rode on the driverless bus last year if you click on the link in the blurb. Great to see how well the trial has progressed, and so it's good that it's Adrian's accolade this week. Now, that's it for this week's Highways Voices. Remember, I'll be reporting from Intertraffic Amsterdam in 2 weeks' time with daily programmes, thanks to the support of our friends at SWARCO, AGD Systems and Traffic Group Signals, and we'll be looking ahead to the event in next week's Highways Voices. With so many of the industry hopping across the North Sea, it'll certainly be one not to miss. So join me again next week.
Highways Voices. Join us again next week for more insights from those that matter in the industry.